بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, inshallah, with the further and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will discuss a discourse of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah. And the title is, How to Live Before One Passes Away. How we should live our life in this world before mort strikes, and then we have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death is inevitable. There is no doubt whatsoever that mort shall certainly overtake a person. Comes in the Quran Sharif, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste mort, death. In one verse, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Wherever you are, mort will seize you. You can be hiding in some fort, some palace, no matter how lofty your mansion may be, and you have huge boundary walls, but when mort comes, it comes through all those things. Malakul mort comes and takes away the person's ruh. So there's no dispute about this truth. Nor has anyone denied it. They are, and they have been, persons who have denied the existence of Allah Ta'ala and His messengers. But they cannot deny death. Anyone who has come into this world must face death one day. It is also unanimously agreed that none knows the time of one's death. Nobody knows exactly when he will pass away. It may just come now. Come after a minute, after a week, after a month, after a year, after many years. But there will be a time when mort comes. So none knows the time of mort, death. Notwithstanding all its advancements in science, one cannot tell when a man shall die. So you can't go to any computer program and find out when exactly your life will come to an end. There's a saying, it's not a hadith of Rasulullah SAW, it's a saying, Mutu qabla an tamutu, that die before your death. Die before your death. So this riwayat or the saying that death is inevitable, it is also certain that appointed time of death is not known. And this saying is that you must die before your death. So we will explain what this means. There are two meanings to this. Before facing mort, man should give up all those sensual desires and lusts which are contrary to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should also crush those urges that are arising from time to time to commit sins. Indulge, and he should not indulge in unlawful occupations and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, mutu in Arabic means to die. Qabla anta mutu, before you face real mort. So, what does it mean to die before you die? It means that you should crush your lusts, your passions, your whims, your fancies, all those temptations which are leading you, pulling you towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in actual fact, you are killing your nafs, you are annihilating your nafs. This is the mort that you are giving to yourself. That you are not giving in to those pleasures and dictates of your nafs and soul, but you are fighting it, combating it, you are killing it. That is one meaning. And the other meaning is, some scholars have interpreted this to be, that this phrase is that man should visualize frequently mort and the pains of mort, the sakrat of mort, the throes of death, before the actual approach of death. And this muraqabah, as we say, muraqabah mort, that a person thinks of mort, and he pictures himself that malakul mort is now coming, and malakul mort has approached me, and now he is pulling out my soul. So when a person ponders and reflects over this, the reality of mort will dawn upon him. What has happened is that the reality of mort has disappeared from our lives. We will want to know and see and read in the board, notice board, soon as we come in, who passed away, any janazah. But we don't realize that we will also have to leave this world. Mufti Sahib writes, a person should reflect in his heart that a day will come when he will have to leave this world for good, empty-handed, all alone, leaving behind his wealth, sons and daughters, all his properties, his friends, his relatives. Let man visualize from time to time this frightening scene. The greatest cause of sins, crimes and wrongs a man commits is that he has forgotten death. Man has forgotten mort. As long as man enjoys good health, a carefree and easygoing life, he thinks that there is none like him. He takes pride, talks highly of himself, he wrongs others, he makes zunam upon others, he takes away others' rights, and he does all these undesirable things in the prime of his youth, at the height of his power. He little thinks that one day he has to leave this world. And when he leaves this world, empty-handed, completely weak, with no strength whatsoever. So he accompanies the funerals of his own kith and kin. He buries them in the graves with his own hands, but he hardly thinks that one day the same is going to happen to him. Thus, he passes his life in negligence, in ghaflat, and he does not prepare for maut himself. This is the reality what we all are faced with. So this statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a hadith, ni'matani maghburun feehima kathirun min an-nas, as-sihhatu wal-faragh. There are two bounties, that is good health and a person being free and unoccupied. These are two such bounties that most people have become deceived with. Person has good health and plenty free time. He does not value these two treasures and these two ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he doesn't utilize this properly. So what happens? He wastes his good health and all the free time he had until when a person becomes sick, now he becomes ajiz and weak, until his free time now is gone and he is so occupied that he doesn't have any time to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So of the blessings of Almighty Allah, there are two blessings which the people have fallen into great misunderstanding and deception. One is a blessing of good health. Other is a blessing of leisure and freedom. So long as they are enjoying good health, they are under the misconception that this blessing of good health is everlasting. And as such, they procrastinate from doing good deeds from day to day. They deceive themselves that they will do the deed tomorrow or the next day. But a time comes when their health fails and they become unable to do what they had been putting off. While the man is young and good health, he can do a lot of good deeds and put in a lot of mujahada. And he can make a lot of ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can devote himself for the sake of Allah. But he beguiles himself by making false promises that he has sufficient time at his disposal. In this way he continues postponing the deed until his youth gives way to old age and his health fails him. In this old age and weakness, he longs for doing some good deeds for his hereafter, but totally unable to do as he now desires. The Arabic saying, Layta shababa ya'udu. That how I wish, the old man says, how I wish that my youth can return. I can become a young man again, young and healthy and strong and robust, and I can do so much of work, but it is too late. These failures arise for the only reason that man is oblivious of maut. If man remembered maut every day, every morning and every evening, that he has to die one day, then this thinking of maut will guard him against sins. That is why Rasulullah mentioned, أَكْثِرُ ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ يعني الموت. Remember frequently, remember in abundance, the terminator of all pleasures, and that is maut. When a person realizes that now all his merriment and enjoyment will come to an end, then immediately it will help him to guard against sins. And it will put him onto the path of righteousness. This is why the saying had been mentioned that mutu qabla an tamutu, die before your death actually overtakes you. Then the Mufti Taqi Sahib has given the incident of Hazrat Bahlul Rahmatullahi Alayh, and we had mentioned this story many times, but for those who have not heard it before, and of course for ourselves again, we have to remind ourselves of these incidents which we have heard, but we just hear it, we don't take any ibrat and lesson from it. So let us ponder and reflect and look at this lesson. It's a great lesson for all of us. The story of Bahlul. Bahlul had been a saint, but he was regarded as a majzub. Majzub means a man is so madly in love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he becomes so lost and so engrossed that people then think that this man is an insane person. Because all the time this person is so totally engrossed and he cuts himself from all the pleasures of the world and what everybody else normally enjoys. So people think that this guy is not all there. He lived during the Khilafat of Harun al-Rashid. The Khalifa frequently used to cut jokes with Hazrat Bahlul. Although he was a majzub, he used to say things full of wisdom. Harun al-Rashid had ordered his gatekeepers that whenever Bahlul comes, you should let him in. So Bahlul used to call on the Khalif whenever he desired. One day when Bahlul entered the court, he found Harun al-Rashid with a stick in his hand. Harun al-Rashid says to Bahlul, jokingly, mockingly, oh, he made a joke of him, Bahlul, I'm giving you the stick as an amanat, as a trust. I request you to present the stick as a gift to the person whom you find to be a greater fool than yourself. Bahlul took the stick and he agreed to do so as he was advised by the Khalif. It was the intention of the Khalif by this joke to tell Bahlul that he was the greatest of fools. Many years later, one day Bahlul came to know that Harun Rashid was seriously ill and he was under some medical treatment on his deathbed, but the treatment was not proving beneficial. So Bahlul visits the Khalif Harun Rashid to inquire about his health. So Bahlul said, Amir Mu'mineen, how are you? The Khalifa said, I am setting off on a journey now. So Bahlul says, what is the destination of your journey? So Harun Rashid says, it is my journey to the year after. I'm leaving the world for good. Bahlul says, if you will not come back, then what about your armies, your soldiers and other sources of comforts? Have you sent all these things ahead to make your journey comfortable for you? The Khalif says, you are again talking so foolishly. None accompanies the traveler in the journey to the year after. Neither bodyguards, nor any army, no soldiers. A man undertakes his journey to the hereafter all alone. Bahlul says, it's a very long journey from which there is no return. That's what you are saying. But you have not sent ahead any armies, no soldiers. In all the other journeys before this journey, you used to send ahead armies, soldiers. Why did you not make similar preparations and arrangements for this big journey now? Harun Rashid said, this is the journey for the sake of which no soldiers, no armies are sent ahead. So Bahlul said, oh Khalif, your trust of a stick has been with me for a long time. You had desired that I should hand it over to a man who was a greater fool than myself. I searched far and wide for a greater fool than myself, but could not find anyone now except yourself. The reason for this is that even for a short journey, measures were taken by you months before to make it safe and comfortable. Food supplies, tents, armies, bodyguards, etc. were sent in advance before the commencement of this journey. But I see there is no preparation whatsoever for such a long journey from which there is no return. I therefore do not find in this world a greater fool than you. I am therefore returning to you the stick that you had given as a trust. On hearing this, Harun Rashid burst into tears. He said, Bahlul, you have told the plain truth. I have been considering you as a fool my entire life, whereas it is you who have expressed the point of wisdom. It is a fact that I have wasted my lifetime. I have made no preparation for the hereafter. So whatever Hazrat Bahlul Rahmatullah said is actually based on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, When Nabi Akrim said, Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsah wa amira lima ba'd al-maut. Intelligent is that person who suppresses his desires, his nafs, and he prepares for the life after maut. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advice in this hadith as to who is the actual, who is the real wise person. The present world, that man is regarded as wise who earns much money, carries on successful business ventures. As against this view, Rasulullah said that a wise man is a person who controls his nafs. And he does not hanker after his wishes. And he makes himself obedient to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. He prepares for the hereafter. If man does not conduct his life on this path, he's a fool. He's wasted his life in senseless pursuits. He's made no preparation for the hereafter, where he should live forever and ever. The Muftitaqi Saab has got a subtitle. He says, we are all fools. If we look into the issue intently, we shall find that what Bahlul Tul Harun Rashid applies to every one of us. We are always busy thinking how to make our lives more and more comfortable in this world by building palatial homes, equipping them with all the possible means of comforts, pleasures, enjoyments. When setting off on a journey, we will go and book our seats, whether it's by train, aeroplane, long in advance. And we book our hotels beforehand, make all other preparations well in advance. And even if the journey is short, not even occupying 2 or 3 days, but for that place where we have to live forever, the hereafter, akhirat, we take no care whatsoever as to how we are going to build our home there. We take no care whatsoever to make proper preparations for this final destination. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the wise man is really he who prepares himself for the life to come after death. If he does not do this, then he's a fool. In spite of his wealth, in spite of his capital, in spite of his intelligence, to prepare for the hereafter means one should reflect on maut and the consequences of maut before facing maut, as a result of which he has one day to leave this life and this world for a place from where there is no return. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi has advised, the person should go in khalwat, in seclusion. And this is something most of the mashayikh recommend. To take us out for a few seconds, a few minutes, to ponder and reflect with the reality of dunya and akhirat. So we have to seclude ourselves for a few moments and visualize again, as I mentioned, about Malakul Maut coming. He has come to extract the soul from the body. And your kith and kin have also call on you, and they're arranging now to give you ghusl and to give you the kafan. They are now taking your dead body to the qabristan, and they have, after performing your janazah salah, then they are lowering your body into the grave. And after doing all this, they all leave for their homes, and you are all alone in this dark grave. And now the angels come to interrogate you, to question you. So he says, thereafter, again imagine the scene of the hereafter. This is the scene of maut and dafan, kafan, kafan and dafan. Now he says, you must think of the day of qiyamah. You've been raised from your qabr, and now qiyamah has begun. And it's extremely hot, it's boiling. The entire body is perspiring. The sun has come down very close to you, and everybody is in a state of perplexity, bewilderment. People are running to and fro. People are calling and shouting, and they're going to different Anbiya alayhimu salatu salam to seek for intercession and for reckoning to begin. So as Thani Rahmatullah says, this is the second muraqabah a person should make. In the same way, you should try to imagine this qiyamah. And now you're crossing Pul Sirat. Crossing Pul Sirat. So he says, picture how you're going to cross this Pul Sirat. Fire of Jahannam is under it. It's absolutely thin, sharper than a blade, thinner than a strand of hair. The huge hooks. The moment a person comes into onto Pul Sirat, if he's an evil person, these hooks will pull him off of that Pul Sirat and push him into this fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect us. So these are the things we have to ponder and reflect. Problem is, we recite Quran Sharif and all these things have been mentioned, but we just read through, we take no lesson, we take no ibrat from it. Therefore, Mashayikh have said that when you go find some time in seclusion, ponder and reflect over the maut, muraqabah of maut, and then qiyamah takes place, and also crossing Pul Sirat. Hazrat Rahman, rahmatullahi alayhi bin Nu'aym, he was a great muhaddith. So during his time, it occurred to one man, one person, he thought about, he said, let me go to various ulama, and muftis, and jurors, and pious people, and ask them some questions. What is the question? It says that if you have to come to know now that you are going to die tomorrow, for example, and only one day of your life is left in this world. Somebody may ask us that question. If you know, if you just got one more day left in this world, how will you pass that one day? What will you do for that one more day? So he went, he did the survey. And what is his intention? The intention underlying this question was to know the righteous deeds of deen, which these great people, these great men of Allah, would like to do on the last day of their lives. This man intended to make it the routine of his life, to do the same good deeds for the sake of the year after. So he wanted to know different good deeds, what people will do. So he found this will be the best thing. Let me ask them, their last day of their life, what would they like to do? So people answered, and they gave different replies. So he put this question to these various pious men. Every one of them gave a different reply. But when he came to Hazrat Abdurrahman, rahmatullahi alayh, and put forward this question to him, this wali of Allah replied, I shall do the same deeds which I have been doing every single day as a routine. I have drawn up my timetable and daily routine duties from the very first day under the belief this day may be the last day of my life and I may pass away today. This timetable is so tight that it cannot be changed. I shall therefore do the same deeds on the last day of my life as I have been doing every single day. So this is what we are supposed to be doing. That every day we are supposed to be treating this as our last day. And in the hadith which we explained some time back, where Rasulullah mentioned, Salli salata muwaddi'in. Read namaz like the person who is bidding farewell to the world. Now he's going to pass away. So what type of namaz are you going to read? If somebody tells us this is the last namaz of your life, after which you will not be given a chance again, or maut will then come. So that last time, namaz you read, whether it's 2 rakat or 4 rakat you got. Let's be honest, how properly we will read the takbir tahrima, we will make sure it's perfectly correct. And the qirat, and the ruku, and the qawma, and the jalsa, and the sajda. And we will take long in the salat. So every single day of our life should be as though this is the last day in my life. And that's the reality, because nobody knows when maut is going to come. It can come today. So if you are preparing and making this, that this is your last day, brothers, we will not make ghibat of any person. We won't mock, we won't fight, we won't quarrel. If somebody hurt us, we'll make him maaf, we'll make sabr, we'll make shukr. And all the good qualities we will try and inculcate in ourselves, and we'll try and do as the best in acquiring good deeds and saving ourselves from nafs and shaitan. So the person becomes eager in meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes sure everything is done properly. He makes tilawat of the Quran, tahajjud, nawafil. He's waiting to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was what this Abdurrahman rahmatullahi alayhi had in his life. That every day he treated, this is my last day and I'm going to meet my beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what a mu'min should have. The desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man ahabba liqa'a Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. Hadith of Rasulullah SAW. Whoever loves and desires to meet Allah, likewise Allah ta'ala waits to meet him. Allah Ta'ala wishes to meet him. So people who are really eager to meet the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is always waiting to meet them as well. Allah Ta'ala wishes to meet them. We find that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, I think it was Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, as he was passing away, he said, غَدًا نَلْقَ الْأَحِبَّةِ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَحِزْبَةِ. Tomorrow I shall be meeting my friends, my beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. So with this muraqabah, this meditation of maut, life will then become molded on the pattern of Sharia and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala make it possible for us to bring this simple remedy into our life. And therefore, the saying goes, حَاسِبُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. As Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu mentioned, that measure, weigh yourselves, make hisab kitab. Hisab, حَاسِبُوا means take a reckoning. How we have accountants, in Arabic they're called muhasib, they're making hisab. So, a person should check and take an account of himself before the day of Qiyamah, when his hisab will be taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let this be a daily routine of reckoning your activities before you are subjected to the reckoning of the hereafter. Remember Allah ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Whoever does an atom's weight of good, no matter how small it is, any good deed you did in this world, on the day of Qiyamah you will see it on the scales of good deeds. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Whoever does an atom's weight of evil, so small, but you will see it on the scale of your bad deeds on the day of Qiyamah. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh, he proposed a prescription, and he says that he advised the following. He says, make a covenant to yourself. Make a promise that on getting up every morning, that you, from that morning till the night, you will do the following. Number one, I shall not commit any sin. So make this promise that when you wake up in the morning till the evening, you will not commit any sins. Whatever happens, I will make sure I do not fall into any sin. Number two, I shall offer all the faraid, my salat, and all other faraid, whatever is compulsory upon me, and also I'll do the sunnah, and nawafil, salat, and discharge all these obligations. So whatever I have not performed, I will make qaza of those. Whatever is fard, ada, I will make sure I read all my faraid properly. And number three, I shall discharge in full all my obligations and responsibilities that I owe to Allah and also to the rest of mankind, makhluk. So hukukullah and hukukul ibad, these three things. So when a person wakes up in the morning, he says, I will not commit any sins whatsoever, and I will make special ihtimam and attach special importance to reading my faraid first, and then of course sunnat and nawafil, and I will fulfill Allah's rights and makhluk's rights. Dr. Abdul Hayy rahmatullahi, he made an addition to this first item of the covenant by suggesting that after making this covenant and pledge, one should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help one in abiding by the terms of this covenant and keep steadfast on it. So you ask Allah ta'ala, Ya Allah, you give me istiqamat. You give me the ability. And you make me steadfast in being able to fulfill this covenant that I'm making. Because remember, without Allah's assistance, a person will not be able to fulfill such a covenant. So there's a strict control and supervision all day long. Person is checking himself. Am I committing sins? Am I being tempted? Am I fulfilling the rights of Allah? Fulfilling the rights of people? These things he will keep on checking on himself. So after making this supplication, person should go out, earn his livelihood, but whilst earning rozi, make sure that you are still fulfilling this covenant. So this is the muhasabah. reckoning. Check yourself. Take stock of yourselves. Take a stock of your deeds, your amal, especially before going to bed, and ask yourself, what wrong did I do today? What lawful thing? What unlawful thing? What good deed? What bad did it do? If a person checks, and after taking this hisab, he finds that he has successfully fulfilled all those conditions of the covenant he made, then what must he do? Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Allah, all praise on you for you. I'm thanking you, you gave me the tawfiq. It wasn't my own doing. And if you make shukr, Allah will increase you in the ni'mat. Allah will give you more strength. And if a person did anything wrong, what should he do? Make tawbah. He should make sincere tawbah, sincere repentance. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah has mentioned that sometimes a person should put some type of punishment upon himself. Of course, it mustn't be a very light punishment, neither should be a difficult punishment. For example, he has given a person who does something wrong, then he must read 6 rakats or 8 rakats nafil before he goes to sleep. It mustn't be such that it's something very easy for him to fulfill. He says in one college, the rector had said, if any person does anything wrong, then you're going to give a couple of cents and put this in the box as a punishment for the wrong you have done. So people, well in advance, because it was so cheap, for 1 month ahead they already started paying it. So there was no fayda in that, there was no benefit in that. Here you must be able to feel the pain, but it mustn't be very difficult because a person is not permissible to punish himself. What the maqsad of this is, that to get you back onto line. So every time you think you can do some wrong, you realize, hey, 8 rakats have to read, but difficult, rather quickly refrain from this sin. This is the maqsad of this. And it shouldn't be just be done once or twice. Sometimes it happens that you say, I will read 8 rakats nafil, or I'll do this, or I will give so much of sadaqah, whatever it is. And immediately you come right. The wrong that you were doing before, the very next day you stop doing it. Remember, this could also be the dhokha of shaitan and dhokha of nafs. You could be deceived. Nafs is such, the next day you might get it right, and after that again it will pull you back to that evil. So for some a period of time, you should make sure you have the strict condition upon yourself. And of course, a person has to have himmat, he has to have courage, which we explained so many times, that without courage, a person won't be able to do any of these good deeds, and he will not be able to refrain from any of these sins. So make this covenant in the morning, and exercise strict control before you commence your work. That exactly what we explained, this is what I will be doing. And before going to bed at night, make a hisab kitab, muhasabah. So you took the pledge in the morning, you carried out yourself the entire day. In the night, you make this muhasabah. And then also, if you have done something wrong, now you inflict upon yourself this penalty, as we say. That I did this wrong, and now I have to punish myself in this way. Oh, this is the penalty, this is how I will penalize myself. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib then gave the incident of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu, which we mentioned before, that Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, it was a very strange experience, that one day it was such that he should wake up for tahajjud salat and he missed his tahajjud salat. Shaitan went and changed it, or did not, or he for some reason made him sleep longer. He fell to such a deep sleep that he missed his tahajjud salat. But when he woke up, he cried so much, he repented so much, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much of more reward. So the next day shaitan comes and wakes him up even more early. Shaitan wakes him up and says, Riya tahajjud. Who is this? He said, it's Iblis. He said, please offer, get up and offer your tahajjud salat. Muawiyah said, you stop people from offering tahajjud salat, then how come you are waking me up? So shaitan said, last night I caused you to sleep and you missed your tahajjud salat. This made you so much grief that you repented and you sought forgiveness the whole day long. This elevated your rank in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I thought it's better that you offer tahajjud salat instead of missing it, and you make so much tawbah and repentance, and Allah elevates your position. So what do we understand? not to miss our tahajjud salat, but regret and repentance. And a person is genuinely, sincerely, he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah forgives him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates his position. Allah ta'ala gives him a high rank. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make this muraqabah of maut. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Die before our death comes. Take hisab of ourselves before the day of Qiyamah, when we have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our reckoning will be taken. Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullahi says that, try to imagine that today you are standing on the plane of Qiyamah, when you are being reckoned about your deeds, and all the badges recorded in your register have been brought before you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding you, asking you to explain, why you committed this sins? Why did you do all these bad deeds? What answer will you give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, why? Why is mentioning this? He says, many times people tell the ulama or somebody is advising you, but stop all this wrong that you are doing. Our parents or family members or some elderly person, they try and encourage us to do good deeds and refrain from sins. So what do we say? What can we do, man? So difficult. What can I do? This entire age has become so corrupted. This world is advancing by leaps and bounds in the field of science and technology, and the social media, and there's this and that. What can I do? There's so much of fitna around. So must I also remain backward? And I must cut off myself from this world? It's so difficult to live in today's social environment without taking advantage of scientific advancements and inventions. So this is the excuse that many of us give. What must I do? Everybody is enjoying themselves and everybody is advancing, and must I go backwards? So Hazrat Arifi Rahmatullah says, think, Qiyamat, and Allah is asking you, will you give Allah Ta'ala these answers? What you give to the ulama and mashayikh and people who are well-wishing and they are advising you? Will you say, tell Allah, I couldn't help it, and everybody's enjoying themselves. Why should I have cut myself off from the merriment and enjoyment? And there was science and technology was improving, so I also started enjoying and abusing it. So will you give the same reply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you give to all the Maulvis and reformers? No. In the divine court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you won't have the courage, the capacity to do so. So therefore, respected brothers and elders, let us now ponder, reflect that Allah Ta'ala's mercy is so much, so vast, so great. Allah is waiting for us to turn to Him. And Allah will wrap us in His mercy. Allah Ta'ala will shower His special mercy upon us. The main thing is that we have to now ponder and reflect, make muraqabah as we explained, and muhasabah. Muraqabah means to have this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is watching me, and the muraqabah, the procedure that is given, that you think that now you are passing away, and your kafan and your dafan is taking place, and how Malak al-Maut has taken away, and you are lifeless, you've got no strength whatsoever, and then think of Qiyamah, that on the day of Qiyamah, people are running to and fro, and the horrifying conditions of Qiyamah, and if this is still not helping, then you think of how you're going to cross Pul Sirat. All these things we require to do every single day, and then we make muhasaba, reckoning, check what good deeds I did today, make shukr for it, what bad deeds I did, make tawbah and istighfar. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu.